My name is Zufei Wang. I'm a hematologist at the Ottawa Hospital and the University of Ottawa in Ottawa, Canada. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking to you about a topic of drug-drug interaction, particularly implications in cancer patients. In the next 10 minutes or so, I would like to summarize the scope of the problem and discuss some pertinent literature and future research directions. So we all know that cancer patients have increased risk of VTE by at least 12-fold, and cancer therapy will further increase the risk of VTE by further 23-fold based on a large recent Netherlands epidemiology study. In addition, cancer patients also have at least 2-fold increased risk of atrial fibrillation. Therefore, anticoagulation is a commonly used in cancer patients, and historically, lumefantrine is the anticoagulant of choice, although warfarin remains commonly used given its cheap price. And in recent years, based on multiple randomized control trials, direct oral anticoagulants, or DOAC, are increasingly used. However, there has been concern of drug-drug interactions. The reason drug-drug interactions is important is that drug-drug interactions account for 20 to 30% of adverse drug reactions, and patients with cancer often have increased risk of drug-drug interactions because they are usually older, have multiple comorbidities, and can have reduced liver and kidney functions that can cause the change in metabolism of the drugs, and they also commonly take multiple medications for including cancer therapy or supportive treatment for their cancer, as well as other medication for their comorbidities. And studies does show that with increasing number of concurrent medication, the risk of drug-drug interaction significantly increased. However, even though the drug-drug interaction with anticoagulant can be common, current literature is quite limited, either to the serious case series or retrospective studies, and a lot of guidelines in product labeling are mainly based on in vitro pharmacokinetic studies and or expert opinions. And because of that, these guidelines in product labeling could be non-specific and sometimes could even have conflicting recommendations. So a lot of times we really don't know whether the in vitro pharmacokinetic studies could certainly implicate, can have a direct implication in clinical, pertinent clinical outcomes, which is certainly further research is needed. So as example, in the FDA, the United States FDA recommend that in the presence of strong dual inhibitors, apixaban should be reduced dose to 2.5 milligram twice daily, while Health Canada and EMA from Europe actually recommend against the concurrent use of apixaban in strong dual inhibitors or inducers. So you can see that there are conflicting labeling that could be confusing for clinical practice. In the consideration of drug-drug interaction within the coagulant, there are two main types of drug-drug interaction that we should consider. One is pharmacokinetic interactions, and the other one is pharmacodynamic interactions, which I'll discuss briefly in the next few minutes. So first, we'll discuss pharmacokinetic interactions. Pharmacokinetic interactions happens when two or more drugs have shared metabolism pathways, which causes alterations in drug absorption, distribution, metabolism, or excretion. Classically, lumefantrine has been not thought to have a major interaction because lumefantrine does not go through the cytochrome P450 or P-glycoprotein pathway. As compared to that, warfarin and DOAC are through those pathways and are mainly main concerns for pharmacokinetic interaction. Particularly for DOAC, as we can't, we don't usually adjust dose based on certain levels, such as INR for warfarin. And we use a fixed dose of DOE for everybody. There have been concerns of pharmacokinetic interactions, which is also the focus of the main focus of drug labeling and guidelines. So the consideration is if a patient were to be on concurrent CYP or PGP inhibitors, they will increase the DOE concentration and theoretically causing increased risk of bleeding. On the contrary, if a patient were to be on concurrent several PGP inducers, they could reduce the risk of the concentration of DOAG, causing increased risk of thrombosis. So the classic example of CYP and PGP inhibitors are mainly the fungal medications, azole, concurrent therapy of that. And while the classic inducers are anti-epileptic medications such as phenytoin or carbamazepine, there are some prostate cancer medications such as enzalutamide and apalutamide that could that's also thought to be a strong inducers and could be associated with increased risk of thrombosis. However, again, as we alluded to prior, the clinical implications and clinical data is quite limited. The Carvajal analysis study trial, which is a large randomized controlled trial, randomized patient to apixaban versus dalteparin in cancer patient with cancer-related thrombosis, actually published a secondary analysis in patient who had received anti-cancer therapy anytime throughout the trial versus no anti-cancer therapy. What they found is there's no difference in the rates of recurrent VT or major bleeding events in those patients who received any anti-cancer therapy versus no anti-cancer therapy. But when you look at the further details, there are a large number of cancer therapy and variation in the duration of cancer therapy that's included. So even though overall there's no concern, there seem to be no concern of risk, I think we still don't know particularly in each particular combination or particular anti-cancer drugs. So the second drug-drug interaction we should consider is pharmacodynamic interaction, which happens when one drug is the presence of one drug enhances the drug effects in the presence of other drugs. The classic example is the concurrent use of anticoagulant and antiplatelet therapy. And a lot of times there are some other anti-cancer therapy that we should pay attention to, such as BTK inhibitor, the Burton kinase inhibitor, tyrosine kinase inhibitor, which is mainly used in lymphoma in CLL patients, that's known to have off-target antiplatelet effect, and with concurrent therapy with anticoagulation can increase risk of bleeding, and as well as the VEGF inhibitor, the vascular endothelium growth factor inhibitor, with that concurrent use with VEGF inhibitor plus anticoagulant, it turns out could be either lomecoheparin or DOAG. We both have retrospective studies that have shown that the concurrent therapy of VEGF inhibitor and anticoagulant can increase the risk of bleeding compared to the anticoagulant alone or compared to a VEGF inhibitor alone. So these are based on a few retrospective studies that's been highlighted accompanying manuscript in our most recent 2011 ACTIC that just happened in 2022 that's published in Thrombosis Research that I will encourage you to refer to if interest. We also recently published the TAC DOE study to evaluate the safety and the efficacy of concurrent use of DOAG and targeted antitherapies that's published in JTH in 2021. We included 202 patients from six international sites of patients with active cancer who are taking concurrent DOAG and selected list of anti-cancer therapy. What we found is while the overall risk of major bleeding at 6 months is 4%, that's pretty comparable to the contemporary DOAG trials. chemicals. There's a significant variation in different combination with different anti-cancer therapy. With BTK inhibitor, particularly with a very high risk of major bleeding, 10% in 6 months, and closely followed by VEGF inhibitor, 7% in 6 months. So I would suggest that further studies needed to evaluate what's the relevant drug combination that will cause drug-drug interactions that we should be concerned about, and what's their clinic, and particularly looking at the relevant clinical outcomes such as bleeding and thrombosis, and further to help us develop an optimal monitoring and management strategies. In the meantime, I would suggest to look at the drug-drug interaction function from pharmacology database such as Lexicon, and consult the drug-drug interaction guidance published by multiple organizations, and such as Interquestion Forum, Thrombosis Canada, and refer to your product monograph and package inserts, and consult your local pharmacist as well. Thank you for your attention. Please feel free to contact me with questions.